know my name. Diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slang. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Mal the Building in Prime. So funny. What's so funny?
That you started the pot. The first 10 words you said were muted.
Man, listen.
It's been that kind of week.
It must be the internet, but can you hear me now? I'm good. Yes. I'm good.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good.
All right. So episode 285. Fourth and John, we are talking about the wide receiver position, doing a little breakdown. And as you can see from the photo here, this is more than a Wu-Tang style of depth here. this is insane. But the wide receiver position, I'm excited to talk about. I think it's a group overall that everyone is excited to see, more so on the back end, who makes it out of the pack. In the draft, we were blessed with a guy by the name of A.J. Brown. We also know we have Devontae Smith, who is a legend already in our hearts. And I feel like the 3, the 4, the 5, the 6, depending on how many guys that we bring, I think it could be exciting. I mean, overall, how you guys feel about the wide receiver position?
I mean, can I just belt out a quick hallelujah, man? Like, how long has it been since we've had a complete wide receiver core? The DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin is the last time we've had a receiver core that is this, this good. The fact that we were able to bring in A.J. Brown, we went into this offseason, we were all hyped up for Garrett Wilson. We thought that maybe that was the answer. We go through the draft, yeah. But I don't think anyone really saw the whole A.J. Brown thing coming into fruition. I think that all caught us by surprise on draft night. Although on this graphic, I want to comment on the fact that I love that you kept Devontae front and center right there. Devontae is the boy. Devontae is going to go off this year, all because of A.J. Brown being able to take pressure off of him. Obviously, Jalen Hurts, we all know he's going to take another step, a far step forward this year. And the boys are going to eat. The wide receiver core is going to look completely different than what we've seen in the past half decade. I'm excited.
You're saying hallelujah. I'm going to say holy shit. Counting 12 people on that damn picture.
Good problem to have.
12 wide receivers is definitely a good problem to have. I mean, if you can't find a wide receiver core out of 12 people, we got a problem. At the end of this all, hey, just know we got some wide receivers. So if anybody's looking for one, come and see us. I mean, I'm looking at this list. I'm looking at the top 5. You know, like you said, man, having Devontae Smith in the front of that pack, that means a lot. You know, he definitely has a steady spot on this roster. You know, I mean, he made that very known coming into the league last year and doing his thing. To pick up with A.J. Brown, hey, man, that's icing on the cake. I think it's going to be real, real big seeing these kids, you know, go to work together. I'm looking forward to it because, like you said, man, it's been a while since we had a wide receiver core like this. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to see these boys go to work, man.
Yeah, same, bro. Just excited to, like Ev said, have so many different playmakers. And also for me, it's almost to the Wu-Tang piece. It's like, you get a different little something with everybody, right? That like you have some shorter diminutive dudes that can work well in space. You got big physical receivers that can make tough catches. Devontae does everything, right? So, you know, we have players that are capable of changing the game in a number of different ways, which I think it would be really helpful for like the offensive play calling so that you can design packages and just get real freaky with it. I'm just excited, man. I don't know if we talked about this yet, but at, the Trent Cole camp, Brandon Graham was talking about Jalen Hurts and how he's just been bombing it out to A.J. Brown and Devontae so far. But low-key, I think that I'm the most excited about Quez Watkins because I feel like Quez is now in his more natural position as like a wide receiver 3 as opposed to being like forced into a wide receiver 2 role. I think he's going to go He won't break any records, of course, because behind A.J. Brown and you know, Smith, it's going to be tough to eat. But I think Quez is going to go stupid this year. He's going to be stretching the field for us. And I'm just excited to see him make some big plays.
Yeah, I think people are just excited about having a passing attack that is threatening. Now we talk about Devontae Smith being bracketed. You talk about Dallas Goedert being bracketed. You know, and allows, you know, we're looking at our wide receiver two and three to do something last year, and that's where I think things change now that you have AJ Brown, who's the muscle, and then you have the wizardry of Devontae Smith. So I'm really excited about that pairing. I think it's a dynamic duo. Quez does get his share of love as well. But why don't we start with, you know, we'll start with number one. Number one, A and B. But I'm going to give him this because he's been here first. You know, we'll start off with Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith coming into his second year. I thought last year he performed exactly like I expected. He's the guy that pre-draft. I know I wanted him. I know a lot of us wanted him. He was my number one target. The fact that we got him and the fact that he just played right up to expectations. And you talk about a Alabama player who's been playing in the spotlight for his whole career. And he just showed you that fear is not a factor for him. So I think Devontae Smith really has become a fan favorite already in his second year. What say you about Devontae Smith?
I think that it's absolutely bananas that we had to wait this long for Jeffrey Lurie, the front office, for all of the scouting department to really hone in on the fact that, hey, these Alabama players, there's something to them, man. Like we should maybe look into them a little bit more often. I mean, obviously, like Devontae Smith, he was one of the top wide receivers coming out in his own draft. He was breaking records at Alabama, which, I mean, that's a historically incredible football school. And for to be able to break records there, it just shows what an incredible athlete he is. Yeah. But I think one thing that really needs to be nailed down about Devontae Smith is what we were told prior to the draft. And that was that he's too small and he's not going to be able to stay healthy. My man played every game last year. He's durable. He knows how to avoid a big hit. Knock on wood. He knows how to avoid a big hit. He knows how to maneuver his body as he's going down so he can avoid getting whacked. And that's something I feel like that you can't necessarily teach. That's something that you just kind of come into the league with a natural intuition of knowing how to do. And he's really good at it. And I think that is he's going to be an all-time Eagle, bro. He's going to be that dude.
All time. Woof.
Dude.
But we're going into year two with Devontae. So I mean it's gonna be pretty interesting. I mean, he really balled out last year on his rookie year, and going into, you know, his sophomore year in the league, it's gonna be big. I mean, a lot of people always have doubts when it comes to the sophomore year, but I don't know. With this kid, man, I think he's just gonna just keep on going with that trend. He's gonna stay hot, he's gonna stay focused, you know. I mean, he's hungry every play. So I think he's really going to be that threat. I know we went ahead and labeled his as the number one, and I'm with you, girl. This is my number one receiver, regardless if we brought AJ Brown in here. This guy, you know, this kid is he's the highlight of the team, man, and he showed that last year, and I think he's really going to go ahead and carry that on into this upcoming season. So I'm ready to see him go to work just as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, AJ Brown's the number one. He's the dude that people are going to, like, really focus the defense around. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, Devontae Smith, I mean, because he's a route running savant, I worry less about the big hits because he understands how to get himself open, like you said, Ev. He understands how to, like, maneuver in space, and he's a beast. And even at his softball game, I feel like he was a little bit bigger. Like, the legs looked a little bit chunkier. Like, the shoulders was up a little bit. I'm like, okay, he might weigh like 175 now. He brolicked up. So, you know, I'm just excited just to see that leap in year two. Like Prime said, a lot of times people expect that sophomore slump. I think because all of these tools got added around them, and I think because Jalen's in his second full year in the system, that you'll be able to see this offense take a step forward. Really with Devontae not necessarily leading the pack, but definitely 1A, 1B with the next dude that we're going to talk about.
I also, before we get off the topic of Devontae, I just want to kind of build off of what you were saying of him being a route technician, but also an extremely intelligent football player.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like he knows the game of football. He's one of the higher intelligence guys that's out there on the field. And I think that all plays a factor in his excellence.
Yeah.
Excellence. You talk about excellence. I think a feeling of excellence was happening on draft night as we all looked around and found out the Eagles traded one of their first round picks for A.J. Brown. Now, talk about a big dog to add to a mix. It's like, is that meme where the guy has the frying pan and he puts the too much grease in it, too much, and the flames are going off. Once Howie added that into the pot, I was like, as an Eagle fan, if you weren't excited, I don't know what is wrong with y'all. But A.J. Brown, I think he brings the muscle to the party. I think when you're looking for a bouncer, he's your guy. He's your guy. He's the guy that's going to throw people out the club. He's the prime of the group.
I'll say he's the primo.
I think he's going to be a reliable threat in these RPOs. You talk about those slants, bodying out some of these DBs down by the end zone. I think he's going to be there's going to be so many weapons, but I think A.J. Brown is going to be a guy that, you know, also gets Yak. I think he had the most yards. What is that?
To catch, yep.
It's like averaging four yards on that. So leading the NFL in that category. But I think A.J. Brown, he's a guy that the expectations are high. He got his money. I think he's going to be one of the biggest and toughest wide receivers we've had since Terrell Owens.
I completely agree with you. That's the first name that came to mind for me as well. And, dude, A.J. Brown, like a few years ago, we were hyper-focused in our draft, and all we went after is speed. I believe that was the Rager draft when we got was that Hightower and Quez and Rager all in the same draft, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
That was the speed draft. And that's the only thing they were focused on was we're trying to get the fastest guys on this team. We're trying to build the fastest roster in the NFL. Yeah. And on paper, I guess that sounds like a strategy worth pursuing. But honestly, it didn't work out. And we were just dying for years as fans to get a physical wide receiver in here. And now we don't just have a physical wide receiver. We have one of the top flight physical wide receivers in the NFL. And, dude, he's going to eat again. And, like, him and Devontae obviously are going to work off of each other, where they're both going to take pressure off of each other. Having a wide receiver 1A and 1B is a privilege I'm not sure Eagles fans are ready for.
I mean, bro, you guys say he's like the primo of the Eagles. That's cool, man. That's a compliment because, yes, that dude is a beast. I seen that boy straight up live at that softball game, seeing the build on him. Jack. I'm like, yo, I haven't seen, you know, like you guys said, I haven't seen this since T.O., man. And yeah. I was ecstatic. It took some time for it to, like, sink in because the day of the draft, I'm going to be honest with you, when it happened, I really wasn't too thrilled about it at that time because I wanted N'Kobe Dean, you know, at that time. But at the end of it all, when we still got N'Kobe Dean, it was just like, all right, now I got to focus on what this A.J. Brown is all about. And I did my homework, you know, and you guys helping me out, getting me to understand what he was all about and seeing him. And it was just like, holy shit. Like, it's time, man. Like, so the dude, I mean, he's running a 4.4, 225 pounds, I'm sorry. Like, he's a beast. Like, he's killing it, man. So having that on the squad, yo, This dude is ready to go ahead and do some damage, man, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
I would say that Deshaun and Devontae have probably comparable speed, but if we're talking about Macklin and A.J. Brown being comparably physical,
skill set is very different.
Very different.
Yeah, and I mean, Jackson was more of a burner than Devontae. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Devontae,
yeah, no,
is
totally
a more nuanced.
He's more technical route runner. Yeah. Right.
As far as, like, A.J. Brown, I think one of the things that is really slept on with him is his route running, right? That, like, when I went and looked at his film and, like, did the article for the site, I was really impressed by his ability to get open, but also his ability to just be tough as nails to bring to the ground. And I think for us, that's a big piece that we have not had. You mentioned T.O., but he's more in that Deebo Samuels lane of, like, get the ball in his hands and becomes a running back. Like, T.O. wasn't really built the same way, right? That, like, you know, A.J. Brown's a little bit shorter to the ground, a little bit stockier. And so, you know, when he gets his hands on the ball, man, that run after catch ability is really it's going to add such a huge element to the offense. I think that it's also one of those things where, like, Jalen can play some backyard football with him, right? That, like, it doesn't have to be precise. It doesn't have to be concise. That when those times when the pocket breaks down, Hurst has to roll left, Hurst has to roll right, and he's looking, you know, keeping those eyes downfield. He sees A.J. Brown, hit him, go. A.J. could take it from anywhere on the field. And so just excited, man, you know, 1A, 1B. It's been a while. I think the closest comparison, of course, will be that D-Jax Macklin. In my opinion, I think that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith have an opportunity to be better football players 100%. Than D-Jax and Jeremy Macklin.
And that's no knock on them.
No, like, not a knock at all. Yeah. I love Jack. You know, I love Macklin for what they brought to this city. But for me, those two players are better than what Macklin and D-Jax, sort of what their ceilings were. And I'm D-Jax 11,000-yard receiver, so that's saying a lot. But honestly, I think, you know, Hearn, to your point earlier, Devontae Smith could break records for the Eagles if he stays here long enough, right? That, like, mm-hmm. his ability to make plays consistently could lead to a lot of really great things on and off the field. But, yeah, A.J. Brown, I'm through the roof, excited, can't wait. I got Jalen Hurts as my keeper in fantasy, so nice. I'm just geeked up. I'm trying to figure out how I get my hands on A.J. Brown or keep Devontae, whatever. But yo, A.J. Brown is going to go stupid, man.
Even with Jalen Hurts, like, not have, like, having, you know, a middle of the run kind of season as a fantasy player, dude, he gets QB1. Numbers, bro. He gets numbers.
He's top. He's yeah. top five QB in fantasy because mm-hmm. he's gonna get those running scores and touchdowns. But this ain't the fantasy football podcast. I don't mean to derail us. But yeah, excited about AJ Brown for sure.
Yeah, bringing up not the rear, but I mean he's a guy that, you know, they hinted at being a wide receiver too. They're talking about him being a wide receiver too, but yeah, and in my heart he was kind of a wide receiver three. Quez Watkins, I feel like Quez Watkins is a guy who's shown and proved. You talk about being a day three guy and having the ability to work his way. Not only on a 53-man roster, but having an opportunity to start. So from that aspect, you like his growth. I think the mental in terms of Quez Watkins, I think he grew as a person.
Yeah.
You talk about that relationship that he had with Jalen Hurts that was off the field that translated to on the field. Mm-hmm. I think Quez Watkins has an opportunity to grow. They say the third year is always the best for wide receivers, and I think Quez Watkins has a chance. Only 23 years old. I think, you know, talk about that speedster and a guy who showed up, a guy who's consistently made plays. Like, this is something we've asked for from Jalen Reagor. If we're going to put them up against each other, it's something you wanted from Jalen Reagor, is just be consistent. Quez Watkins has been very consistent, making big plays. Your feelings on Quez?
I think Quez, and I hate to keep using the same terms, but I really think that Quez is going to go crazy this year, man. I really do. It's just based on the fact that, like, if you think about with Devontae and A.J. Brown lining up on opposite sides of the field, Quez in the slot, and if both of the outside wide receivers are going on crossing routes, he could sneak right behind those safeties, bro. He's got the jets to be able to do it, and he can pop off some big plays, man. We've seen it before. Yeah. Didn't he have the longest play from scrimmage last year? It was like 94 yards or something like that.
And got ran down, which is wild.
Yeah, it is wild. But he does have the jets, man. He does. Yep. He does have the ability to get there. His route tree isn't crazy, but for what he brings to the table as a slot receiver, as a third option, honestly, as a fourth option, if you consider Dallas Goedert, he's exactly what we need. Yeah. Muted, Primo.
My bad. You know, going off of what you had mentioned earlier about the fact that he's now in the position, the third wide receiver of the squad, you know what I mean? The attention that Smith and A.J. Brown is definitely going to go ahead and grab is going to take a lot off of him. So he's going to kind of put him more in a comfort zone. So I'm looking forward to seeing him being open up on a lot of plays, you know what I mean, because of the attention that Smith and Brown are going to end up having on themselves. So, like, I think this year is definitely going to be a big year for him to go ahead and open up and make those big plays that we were kind of expecting from him last year. You know, due to the circumstances, but now, you know, the way the wide receiver game is set up after all those, you know, players we're seeing there, you know, it's bound for him to go ahead and have that explosive year, man. So I think, you know, this year is going to be big for him.
Yeah, I mean, Quez made a huge jump from year one to year two. I mean, going from 7 catches to 106 yards and a touchdown as a rookie to 43 catches for 647 yards, right? And, like, legitimate long speed, almost a 70% catch percentage. Like, he really showed what he was capable of. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm just going to throw this out here and see what happens. Actually, in my opinion, I think you line Quez up as the X because he's 6 foot, almost 200. You let Devontae run as the Z, and you put A.J. Brown in the slot and going crazy. Because how are they going to stop A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert in the middle of the field? I don't think you can, right? I think that, like, you sort of minimize some of Quez's best traits by putting him in the slot because he's not really a two-way go kind of dude, right? That, like, he's somebody that legitimately can run by folks, run deep posts, run deep slants, right? Like, get open flag routes. And so I would prefer to have him outside and put A.J. Brown in the slot, who is definitely somebody that has more experience with those two-way goals, has a better understanding of how to operate in space than I think Quez does at this point in his career. But realistically, I look at all three of those wide receivers as interchangeable, where you can really put Devontae in the slot and Quez and A.J. Brown outside. Either way, it's exciting. And I'm really, I think Quez gives us another 500 to 600 yard campaign, and really becomes that field stretcher. I think he compares more. He compares exactly straight nine routes, but he know what he does well. He does it well, but you know, I think he compares better to DeSean Jackson, right? To D Jackson, like what he offers the offense with that ability to keep that deep safety honest. So if you gotta have that person all the way back playing that deep, you know, deep third, it gives you so much that you can do underneath. And yeah, I mean, again, so this is like, if I'm an offensive coordinator or offensive coach, like, I am not sleeping because I'm drawing up the most bananas plays and concepts that I could come up with, because you have dudes that just can do it all. So yeah, we three wide receivers in, and I'm already over here sweating like, yo, I'm geeked up, bro.
Well, I gotta ask you this, because I don't know how much time we'll have before Prime comes back. But I know this will definitely get his attention if he's by the computer. Is there, we've had some time, time heals all wounds. Is there any possible way Jalen Reagor can ball out in this camp and pressure Quez Watkins for that spot?
I don't think so. I think if I'm going to be real, I think Jalen Reagor is better suited
in a different uniform,
running back position. I think before you trade him and give up on him completely, you move him over into that running back room to see what he can offer. Because in the end of the day, like, when he gets his hands on the ball, he can do some special things with it. It's just been him being inconsistent with catching, and we know his special teams worries. But for me, exactly, it's all of that. I think that if you go back to his TCU days and you looked at him taking traditional handoffs as like a running back, he was getting right. And he has a really good understanding of space and like how to maneuver in space as a ball carrier.
And the wide back is an evolving position in the NFL.
Yeah, listen, is a space for that hybrid sort of role. I don't think he pushes Quez. Quez already showed what he can do. I think Quez would have to get hurt, or Quez would have to really like fall all the way off for Jalen Reagor to be able to jump him.
But like, I mean, dude, so I'm just curious. We're about to get to Jalen Reagor. Go ahead, yeah. I got plenty to say. I mean,
well, since you guys started talking about him, we'll go with Jalen Reagor, and I feel like he's a guy that, you know, he was drafted in the first round for a reason. In that traits, there's traits that he showed that got him drafted in the first round. The fact that, you know, he's had an opportunity. He's had multiple opportunities. The fact that mentally, you know, I'm not sure if he's there yet. I like, you talk about, you know, watching Devontae Smith come in, just, you know, that's what a first round wide receiver looks like mentally. Yeah. Very confident in this game. There's no lying that like Jalen Reagor has not lived up to the hype. And the fact that we're in I call it a Nelson Aguilar zone, where the pressure is off his back. No one's expecting anything from Mans. is this where you, like, some people when they have the pressure on them, they don't succeed, but when you throw them out in the alley with the cats and you're out there
we don't expect nothing.
Throw him in the alley with the cats.
Like, does he have his breakout moment when no one expects it? You know what I mean? Like, because if you saw the season that Nelson Aguilar had, where he was just completely just like in his head, would you imagine that dude would show up in the Super Bowl and give you the game that he gave you? So, again, is he in the Nelson Aguilar zone? I don't know.
All respect. Listen, I want to say this with as much respect to our people that brought Super Bowl championships to Philadelphia, but neither one of them realistically are first round talents.
Aguilar or Rager?
Yeah, neither one of them are.
I don't know, bro. In hindsight, but I think coming.
Yeah, I'm
out
saying
of college,
as their careers have played out, they haven't lived up to first round wide receivers.
Correct. Well, yeah. Correct. Yeah. I thought you meant coming out in the draft. I was like,
No. I mean, coming out in the draft, you can only go off of what they did in college and what they did in, you know, their pro days and at the combine, which obviously Jalen Rager, he jumped out of the gym. His vertical was insane. Yeah. His 40 was great. Like, the measurables were there, dude. It's just a matter of putting it all together on the football field, which he struggled to do. And like, the fact that I feel like, as an Eagles fan, as a fan base, we just continually, I don't want to say get duped, but like the whole video versus the Patriots last year in the open practices where he goes up and he's got the one-handed catch and it's freaking the summer, dude. It's July. And we're sitting there and we're frothing at the mouth. God, Jalen Rager's gonna have the best season ever. I said it myself. I thought he was gonna be the best wide receiver last year. Man, hey, listen, I got egg on my face. What can I say?
It's like the Ben Simmons open gym jump shot video for the 16 straight years. It doesn't equate to much.
I mean, the funny thing is that
how can you not get geek as a fan?
When you think about what he showed in that first game, he scores a touchdown in the first game, right? He's actually. You know, he's making some plays. And then the 49ers game when he steps out of bounds, he catches a touchdown. You're like, that could have been a game. Like, first game touchdown, second game touchdown.
He had the drop against on the goal line. Like, it's just, you know, there were a lot of close calls. I know, Primo, you up though, bro.
Now, listen, man, y'all can skip me on this one. I'm cool. Look, I'm just going – step up, bro. This is year four. This is year three. Step up. You know what I mean? There ain't no more excuses now. You got a bunch of talent that's surrounding you. You know what I mean? You want to go in there with the mentality of being better than these guys. You know what I mean? Like, we could go back a couple episodes on the back and forth with Gail and Evan about, you know, having that backup being with the mentality. You got plenty of talent around you. There are no more excuses, man. I checked out last year. So, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I don't make the decision. You're still on the squad. Okay. You know, it is what it is. But step up. That's all I'm going to say. Just step up, man.
Prime, what was the game last year where me, you, and Gail were all at the game and me and you just looked at each other? What was that versus the Giants? Me and you just looked at each other and were like, this is it, man. I can't do it anymore.
Yes, it was. I tried. I was done.
I mean,
He had a couple good games after that Gail was really trying to work me back onto, you know what I mean? But I was like, nah, bro, it ain't happening. I'm done.
Blue Meanie with a hell of a comparison here. Talking about the Rager one-handed catch versus the Patriots practice with Sam Bradford's perfect preseason game versus Green Bay.
For me, Rager can't, like, it doesn't get any lower, right? That, like, you can't get any lower. And I think he's also fortunate to be on the same team as J-Jaw. So, like, it isn't just him catching flack. It's also J-Jaw. Yeah. So, like, they're both simultaneously getting slandered all throughout social media. My thing with Rager is, like, yo, shut up and play ball, homie. And I usually don't say that because I understand that athletes are human beings and, like, they have these dynamic personalities and are interested in a lot of stuff. Hey, yo, miss me with all of the posts on social media talking about nonsense. Like, go play some football, dog. Or don't go play football and be a social media, you know, influencer. But, like, you straddling the line and doing neither of them very well. And then your pops is upset that, like, people are getting at you. But, yo, you got to play ball, bro. That's that like you were taken for a very specific role and you're getting outplayed by a sixth round pick. You're getting outplayed by a sixth round draft pick right now that we're sitting here saying you can't beat out a sixth round pick for the third wide receiver spot. That says a lot about how you're perceived and how you've played to this point. But in the end of the day, I mean, Jalen Reagor has all of the prerequisite skills to be successful in the NFL. It's between the ears, as it is with most people. If he can't comprehend it, if he's not willing to put the work in, not saying that he doesn't work hard, I'm sure he does, but he's not doing something correctly because it's not translating to game day. It's not translating to practice. I'm not willing to give up on him. I mean, I have high hopes for any young brother out here trying to do something with his life. But in the end of the day, we all know that football is a business, and the bottom line is production. And if you're not producing, then you got to go. And so if it isn't Eagles football any longer, I hope that he's able to like find a team that, you know, brings him in and works with him. But the Eagles have given him every opportunity to be successful. And, you know, he has not capitalized as of yet.
Now, we know that two of his friends had passed last season. I know it mentally off the field, he was dealing with some challenges. I think, you know, the teammates have, you know, rallied around him and supported him. I feel like the fan base, you know, as he's been going through these his friend from Gladney had passed away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was I think, you know, the fan base was very supportive of that. I just think it's really, really about his mental and NFL. I think, you know, talking to Jason Avant one time, he was just talking the difference between becoming that professional and getting to that next level. You know, you're talking about Jason Avant, who worked his way into becoming a player and a reliable person. It was doing the little things. And if you can't do the little things to get you on the field, then as a pro, I think, you know, that's what it is. And talk about doing the little things to get you on the field. A guy who is completely, you know, against all odds. A guy who played quarterback in college. A guy who was on the practice squad. A guy who's, you know, back-to-back practice squad, you know, standout. Wide receiver profile for Greg Ward. A guy who's a jack of all trades. Maybe not a master of much, but you talk about a guy who is a depth piece, gives you versatility, emergency quarterback, you know, reliable catcher on third down. He led the Eagles squad a year ago in third down catches. Mm-hmm. Greg Ward is a guy to me, you know, this could be his, he's got some competition. Like I'm talking about, you know, Greg Ward, a guy who coming up with some big catches over his career here in the last couple seasons. He's a guy who's been steady Eddie, but when you're talking about building the roster for the future, you want to get younger. You want to bring in someone who can, you know, potentially not just be. I'm not going to call him basic because that's kind of
disrespectful.
It's kind of disrespectful, but I think he's your average wide receiver. But I think from a coach's perspective, if you're looking at a guy like who gives you versatility, can be a punt returner if you want. He does a lot of things, and that's what you do as a wide receiver 4 or 5. You do a lot of things, and I think he's a guy that does that.
How is he only 26?
That was the same thought too.
32 years old, bro. Like Greg Ward.
The way he's been on this squad, you would think he's like 32, 35.
Well, I mean, the years that he's been a part of the squad, it's been some long years.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Long ass years, man. Damn, 26.
No, but I mean, Greg Ward's a guy that I really think that a lot of these Eagles wide receivers can take something away from him, man. Specifically, we were just talking about Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor was a first-round pick, like how you said. Greg Ward went UDFA. And my man showed up and he put in the work in a time when we needed him to put in the work. Yep. And he is honestly everyone in this city. This isn't a stupid sports city. We know that Greg Ward realistically probably isn't going to make the team this year. It's a long shot. He could, but it's a long shot. But this town fucking loves him, dude.
Yeah.
Greg Ward is adored in this city, and it's because he gave us all he got. And that's all we ask for is Philadelphia athletes. He came and he gave everything that he got. Yeah. And I wish him the best of luck in his career if it doesn't continue to be here.
Yeah.
Bro, you couldn't have said it any better. I mean,
yeah.
Just to keep it short and simple, I'm gonna tell you this. If there's anybody to go ahead and look up to, Jalen Reagor should be looking up to this kid right here.
Absolutely.
He has not given up. He's come in here every year and has really pushed it to make this squad. He's been on the practice squad. He's been on the actual roster. He's been back to the practice squad, back to the roster. He's been back and forth. But you know what? At the end of the day, his mentality was to never give up. You know what I mean? He put all the bullshit to the side and did whatever he had to do to go ahead and be on the squad. He is the jack of all trades, man, because, you know what I mean, he'll fill in wherever we need him to fill into. And he's proven that in the past 3 years. You know, he did his thing with, you know, I'm not going to mention the name because I don't want Mal to get bothered. But he did his thing with him. And, you know, I mean, then he came in and still, you know, played that role on the squad for the, you know, past couple seasons. So it's like, yo, this dude never gives up. And that's the type of mentality that, you know, I wish Jalen would have. He needs to feed off of that. And he needs to realize, you know, I mean, look up to Greg Ward. If Greg could do it, Jalen could do it, you know what I mean? So that's a perfect person to feed off of. But Greg Ward, man, you know what I mean? Mad respect to him. And it's like Evan said, if he doesn't make the squad, and there's a possibility that might be the case with all the wide receivers we had this season, listen, man, I wish that dude nothing but the best, you know what I mean? Because, yo, he definitely earned the respect from all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt, man. I think with Greg Ward and Zach Pascal, two players that Jalen Reagor just needs to attach himself to, like tether himself to them. Because these are two dudes that legitimately grinded and stuck in the NFL against all odds. Yep. And they did it because of what Gail mentioned before. They do the little things right, right? Like they get in practice, they go full tilt. It's 100%, right? Like they're not taking plays off. They're not taking downs off. Every opportunity that they get, they take advantage of it. And so, yeah, mad love for Greg Ward. I'm on some, like, if he doesn't make the team, yo, flip him over to the coaching side because I think that he'll make a heck of a coach, especially, like, a heck of a positional coach. Plus, he played quarterback, too. So, you know, I think that he has, like, a viewpoint on offense that's really unique. But in the end of the day, I don't know that Greg Ward makes the team just because there is so much depth and there is so much youth that I don't know. He's not the best slot receiver. He's not the best returner. He's not the best outside guy, right? They're like, there are people that are better at each of those spots. So curious to see how hard he goes in camp. But yeah, just to echo the sentiment, like Greg Ward, man, nothing but love to him and nothing but respect for somebody that came in and just earned his spot.
Now, moving on, you talk about earning a spot. I think Zach Pascal, did I spell his name right? Is there an H in there?
No.
just
I mean, you're a little bit late to be asking, but
I don't disrespect man's, but Zach Pascal, you talk about a reliable person. Zach Pascal has been that. He's a guy that worked his way onto into a role at Indianapolis. You talk about a guy who, you know, we talk about that J-Jaw role. Like, why is he here? Because he can block. He's a guy who can block. You talk about a big body target. We're talking about an upgrade from J-Jaw. So now if your back end of the wide receiver depth chart is a guy who can do with another guy who's a jack of all trades, is he a master of none? He's in that ilk, but he's a guy, he's reliable. He's a guy that, first of all, is a favorite of Sirianni. Sirianni says, if my kid could be a football player, I'd model his game after Zach Pascal because he does all the little things. We talked about all the nuances that Sirianni wants from his wide receivers in practice, whether practice habits, whether toe tap, dragging, like you see him in some of those practices that we were able to attend where he's hammering home the small parts of the game that some of these younger wide receivers, like, you know, Reagor and Hightower, were trying to grasp last season in camp. You know, these are the kind of things that you expect from your wideouts, and he's a favorite of Sirianni. So does that make him a lock is the question.
Lock is a strong word, but the fact that he has the connection with the head coach, that's a huge thing right there. And if we're talking about a guy that is coming in here, like, we need a blocking wide receiver. That's something that we've leaned on in the past few years. Whether that was something that we wanted or was something that we kind of just had our arm twisted into. But as far as like if he is replacing Jay Jaw's role, yeah, that's an upgrade. And that's the only way I'll look at it. Yeah, I think Zach Pascal is a more of a actual wide receiver than Jay Jaw is. I think that Jay Jaw is just an offensive lineman in a wide receiver's body. And, you know, there's not much
that that's you a do. Terrible competition.
I mean, so, my bad.
No, I was pretty much done.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, we went after him for a reason. You know, he has ties with Sirianni. He's not the flashiest player. You know, for what I read on him, you know, I mean, he is definitely one of those situational players that, you know, we kind of lacked in the past couple seasons. You know, we definitely had a lot of people might have high hopes for JJ, but, you know, he definitely hasn't proven himself. They brought him in to go ahead and block. I'm hearing he's a big, you know, key blocker, you know, so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, when it comes down to these third down conversions or, you know, the end zone plays to see what, you know, Zach is going to go ahead and bring to the table. Other than that, you know, I mean, hey, it is what it is. Let's see what he can go ahead and do.
Yeah. I mean, I think Zach Pascal makes the team. Sirianni spoke at length about the importance of having somebody like Zach Pascal, not only in a wide receiver room, but out on the field to be able to help to like get guys in the right position. He understands the offense really, really thoroughly. And so like, he'll also be able to just help even Jalen Hurts, you know, kind of make some of those in-game adjustments. So I think he makes the team. I think he's a decent wide receiver 4. I think he's an incredible wide receiver 5. And so, you know, he's also somebody that has proven that he could play in the league. You know, he has, 2 years, in 19 and 20, he went for over 600 yards receiving. So he definitely showed that he can fill in and spot duty where necessary. And yeah, you absolutely need wide receivers that can block, especially in the offense that we had last year that was very run heavy, where you can just have 4 wideouts out there. I mean, A.J. Brown can block, Zach Pascal could block. If you split and now got her into the flex, right, then like you have 4 dudes out there that can block. So it doesn't have to necessarily only mean you pass the ball from those sets, right? That like it just gives you, again, flexibility, versatility, which I think is what Howie and the Eagles are really looking for. And a lot of the free agent signings that they did and the draft picks is versatility, guys that can do a number of different things just so that their offense or defense doesn't become predictable. And just gives them an opportunity to really mix things up. So yeah, excited about Zach Pascal.
Yeah, I'm you know, like he's also a former teammate of our long snapper Rick Lovato over at Old Dominion. But at the end of the day, like when I make the graphics here, I only made a certain amount of graphics because I felt that is the penciled in guys right now. So I mean, looking at the guys that are really battling and trying to make this roster, I think, you know, the guys that we're going to bring up now, let's see, we'll go through here. Let's see, we talk about let's talk about I'm gonna go Britton Cubby. Because we're talking about how do you make this roster, especially with the guys that I just mentioned, who have when you talk about a Britton Covey, a guy who's 5'8", 173, you make your team and make your mark on special teams. He's a guy who at Utah was part of designing the returns. Like the fact that the team is that, or the special teams coach is that, you know, adamant about letting you be involved in how the kick returns are set up or the wide receiver, the punt returns are set up. He's a guy who's really honed into his craft. And I think that's a guy who is he the Paul Turner of the group where I'm like rooting for him to succeed? His grandfather wrote the book, like the 7 steps of like successful people or something. Like he's a guy from a leadership standpoint, has all those intangibles you just like, but I think Britton Covey is the guy. I'm excited to see. What do you guys think about Britton?
Listen, I have been loving what I've been hearing out of camp about Britton Covey, how it seems like he is an absolute specialist when it comes to this. But I can't help but notice on that graphic that you just showed that he also was the shortest guy on that list. And I know how Gail loves
his short kings. And he's 25, bro.
Gail loves his short kings. Is there bias there?
You know. Well, he also he did a mission down in South America.
Yeah, of course. That's cool.
No, but for real, like that jokes aside, obviously his speed is off the charts, and like when you have a guy that just hones in on like, I don't want to compare him to the greatest returner of all time in Devin Hester, but Devin Hester was a guy that he really, as a wide receiver, never really panned out. He had a few plays that he popped off, but ultimately he was an elite returner, and that's pretty much where his game came to an end. Britton Covey, as far as a mentality, I feel like he's entering the league with the same sort of mindset where he's, I don't know if he's entirely even focused on the whole wide receiver aspect of his game as much as he is in just building and trying to be the best returner that he possibly can be. So, if there's an open roster spot for that, I think 100% you gotta do that. But you also have to weigh the factor of like, should you also, instead of a Britton Covey, have a guy on here that can contribute from a wide receiver role in case, you know, there's a depth issue later in the season.
Well, they said he's been hard to cover, and Adam Kaplan backed that up. I know Merrill Reese came out and backed that up again recently. So he's Derek Gunn had mentioned it as well. So he is turning some heads in camp. So I'm not saying that like he's the be all, the end all, but he just keeps getting mentioned. So,
Primo, you on mute?
That's how his mic works, bro.
My bad, man. I'm trying to, you know, multitask. I got these kids running upstairs. I didn't want you.
Daddy.
Yeah. So look, man, just to keep it plain and simple, I'm all about, you know, these white American football players that are on the squad. I am, especially with the speed.
You sure you're not a New England Patriots fan?
I'm just saying though, like I'm the way the speed, the way these boys got, man, like I'm always looking forward to seeing. Man, look, I'm always looking forward to seeing moving like that. To the table. No, you definitely ain't moving like that. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what this boy is bringing to the table. I mean, look, if he has a chance to make this squad because of his speed, and he definitely, puts, some serious stats out there, or like, you know, some, man, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, in addition to what we got going on, hey, look, I'm all about it. You know what I mean? I'll definitely go ahead and I'll be rooting for him, man, to see what he's all about. I mean, look. Patriots, Edelman, Wes Walker, BB-8, you know what I mean? Like, yo, those guys, they got speed. So when you hear, you know what I mean, that guy being on your squad, that little white guy, you know what I mean, that's got that speed, hey, I'm all about
you
it.
You just racially profile him?
Are we sponsored by the Proud Boys today? What's going on?
Chill. I will disconnect. I will disconnect immediately. So Britton Covey, to me, first, I like the fact that he's laser focused in on making the team via special teams. We have a need there, right? So we don't have somebody that's like out in the lead right now for kickoff or punt return duty. Gail, that the YouTube that you were talking about where he was breaking down his best plays as a kick returner and punt returner. I mean, I was just impressed at how well he understood blocking schemes, how to set up blocks, two-way goals, like all of the things that you really need to know to be good at that role. He has that clearly. I think for him and Devin Allen, who's 27, that like they have to hit the ground running literally and figuratively. They don't have the same wiggle room that's afforded a Rager or afforded a J-Jaw because they're a little bit older. So, you know, if I'm choosing Greg Ward, 26, Britton Covey, 25, Devin Allen, 27, I might lean Greg Ward because he's familiar with the system. He's been in the NFL for a while. And so, you know, for Greg Ward or Zach Pascal to get knocked off, it's going to take a hell of an effort by one of these young dudes. I think Covey, you know, could play wide receiver too. I really want to see what he does with the pads on versus NFL talent. You know, he showed out versus Oregon. He showed out versus USC. Like, he has some really good games in college against high profile programs. So, you know, he could play ball, but the NFL is a whole different ball game, man. So just curious to see what he can do in the preseason.
Well, let's talk about that mental aspect. I think that's what I think he brings, that level of, he seems very laser focused. And me and Matt were talking about the fact that, you know, his father, they had in high school, what they hired the punter from what school was that? Utah or BYU, a punter, and he would catch like 40 punts a day, just at home. Like he's mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing that's like, you know, separate. We're talking about doing little things, doing little things.
I want to talk about Devin Allen real quick, and like I'm just like looking at. I know that he hasn't played football since 2016, and that was at the college level. And it was also like, guys, it was 4 receptions in 2016, 9 receptions in 2015. He had 41 his freshman year in 2014. Like is this just an off-season story? Like, let's be real here. Like, he had 4 receptions in 2016. Is he a viable NFL wide receiver?
Well, he had injuries, so that's why. But I felt like
6 years ago was the last time he played at a
you're talking about the stats. I'm telling you why that he dealt with like injuries. So I felt like, you know, he's a guy who everyone knew he was going to be a track star. For years he's been, gearing up to be that Olympian. So like everyone pretty much knew he was going to be a track star. I think now that he's, I don't know, like it's kind of interesting to see him. Like, is he dialed in? Is he? But also, like, this is what teams do. Like, I don't know. Like, there's these feel good stories that you do bring in. It brings you exposure. You have Olympian. You're getting the Eagles talked about on every single damn thing. Like, okay, it is what it is.
It's like that's also like saying let's bring in Tim Tebow to town because it creates publicity. Like.
Okay. But they feel teams do like that.
I know they do, but I don't understand it. I feel like with Devin Allen, though,
he has legitimate world class speed. I get why you would take a lottery ticket on that, right? But like, get him in the camp. If he can even show any inkling of hanging in the NFL, you potentially practice squad him just to give him a little bit of time to like get better acclimated to the league. I think the tough part for Devin Allen is that he's 27. So, like, if he was doing this at 24, maybe a little bit different. I don't know how legitimate of an NFL wide receiver he is. I went back to some of his college tape. I mean, I think he was a draftable prospect, minus the injuries and stuff. But I'm lottery ticking on the speed, right? They're like, they're just human beings alive that can move as quickly as he can, at least in a straight line. We haven't seen him change direction in years. But as far as like running straight, he runs straight fast as hell. So, hey, give him a shot, you know, and see what happens. I don't have a bunch. I think Britton Covey has a better chance of making the team than he does. But I also, I'm not writing off anybody, right? They're like, you know, plenty of unsung heroes and people that you would not expect to make the NFL shake it up when given an opportunity. I think of Victor Cruz, right? They're like, everybody is like, eh. And then Victor Cruz took full advantage of the opportunity. So, I'm excited to see what he can do. And if all else fails, you'll keep kicking ass in the Olympics running. But, you know, give if you think that football is something you could do, now is the time.
Candy has a point down here below. It's just what's interesting is that the Eagles signed him to a 3-year deal.
That shit don't matter. They're like, the numbers are irrelevant. Yeah, yeah. You know how contracts are set up. Like
as long as the important number that you have to look at is guaranteed money.
Yeah,
and if the money's not guaranteed, then his contract's not guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about seeing him being able to go ahead and combine football and his speed together. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. There was like a lot of high hopes back in the day for John Ross. I think that was his name, the one that played for Cincinnati.
He went in the first round, bro.
Right. Yeah. My man was fast as shit, but you know what I mean? Yeah. The hands wasn't like really, really big.
And injuries. You know,
and injuries too. Yeah. So, I mean, like, if Devin Allen can go ahead and combine those two and make something happen, hey, he could be a stud in the league, you know? Yeah. Even at the age of what is he, 27?
Yeah,
dude, like it would be a hell of a story if he was able to pull it off, bro. If he's able to not play since 2016 and find himself a roster spot, that's crazy.
Well, I always listen. So when you're looking at the cap, it's like, you know, follow the money. You talk about the guaranteed money, he's got $40,000 guaranteed money.
That contract is useless. That's toilet paper.
So when you see the guaranteed money, then you know
it's not much of an investment. Yeah.
Oh, I'll take 40,000 toilet paper, but listen, as an NFL player, that don't mean jack.
That's peanuts.
But going back to that marketing strategy, if the Eagles are paying $40,000 to get you know, some hype, some publicity. It's only $40,000
guaranteed. Yeah.
I would love to get to a point in my life where I could say only $40,000.
You'll get there.
It's only half of Evan's student loans.
You know? Oh my God, I wish that was half my student loans.
Now, we could be here for two days talking about it. So let's pick out some other guys on this list that you want to talk about.
Reggie Hammond. I mean, I think John Hightower still sticking around. I saw wasn't he putting in work with recently? Was it Smith and
Chad Johnson?
Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
Dude, Hightower is a guy that I always liked his speed.
He could fly.
When him and Quez both came in at the same time, I thought that they both showed the ability to get open deep. The only problem with John Hightower is he doesn't reel him in. So if he can start to pull those balls in and do it in practice consistently, I think that the coaches might give him an opportunity on the roster.
Yeah, I would go Hightower too out of that list. I mean, coming out of Boise State, I thought that he had the ability to play some X in the NFL, just looking at his body type, speed, you know, height, weight, speed, the things that you can't really teach. He has them. Just he can't catch consistently, and so you can't play wide receiver in the NFL very long if you're not going to catch the rock. So, I don't know. I think that the Eagles carry six, and I don't know that he makes that list unless – he knocks off Rager, knocks off Ward, knocks off Pass, but like he'll have to take somebody's job. And I haven't seen enough from him to this point in his career that I'm really certain he's going to take somebody's job from them. At least not veterans that have literally proven that they are hard to knock off. Yeah. You're going to have to work your behind off to take their role.
Well, I think from a maturity standpoint, I think this is where he needed to take his game to a level where, you know, we talk about being a pro. You know, you're at a point in time in your career that you have to show and prove. The fact that he did flash, he did have moments where he was creating separation, coming up with a big play. Was the inconsistency at the catch point was something that showed up on tape. But I feel like this is stuff that I was hearing, that it was some maturity stuff that was going on. And I feel like the fact that he's still here, it's the fact that they believe in him and the fact that he's probably showed some growth. Talk about growth. He looks a little jacked up.
Yeah.
He got traps like Prime, man.
Who do you guys think has a better chance to make the team? Greg Ward or Hightower?
Greg Ward.
I hate to say Greg Ward, but I mean, look, last year I was big on Hightower. I was coming on here talking highly big about Hightower, and he definitely didn't come through for me. So, but like, you know, what Gail mentioned, I mean, he's still on the squad, so it means something. They still got some hope in him. So, hey, look, if there's ever a time to go ahead and prove yourself, now's the time, especially with the amount of wide receivers you got on this squad and you're going up against. Hey, man, I really wish you the best, but comparing him and Greg Ward, I think Greg Ward probably has the up on him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But Hightower just got to go out and blow the roof off some things and catch some deep passes. And
they all do. At the end of the day, they all do. Then,
you know, Greg Ward might not be as hard to beat out, right? Because if he has a physical ability to do something Greg Ward can't do. I don't know that there are things that Greg Ward can do that Hightower can't. I'm not convinced Hightower can't catch the ball just yet, right? Like, that's a lot of concentration stuff. But he's also 26, so the clock is ticking, right? That, like, you know, that window of you being able to capitalize on your talent while also still being young according to NFL standards, you know, he's quickly getting to the other side of that now.
I think the thing that, again, when we go back to the little things, is the things that Greg Ward separates all these. He does the little things. Like, he's reliable, so he's consistent. Which was kind of odd, but I just think that at the end of the day, you're trying to make this roster better, and you find someone on this back into this group who can compete with Ward, and you're trying to look for something future in the future, you know. Or you can have Greg Ward in the Tybo class at 37. as long as he's showing up.
Speaking of Tybo, I'm glad you gave that segue. I'm not sure if you guys caught this at all. So, our head coach getting into a little scuffle almost over.
First of all, yo, as a fan, you need to chill. Like, who are you to run down on Nick Sirianni about wearing a Giants cap? Mind your business, dog. Like, well, yo, mind your business.
From what the article sounded like, it sounded like Nick Sirianni didn't like that that guy was wearing a Giants cap at the Haddonfield tennis courts.
Oh, he almost got beat up by Nick Sirianni. Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that angle better. Oh,
yeah.
That makes more sense to me. I'm running down on Nick Sirianni. Like, don't get touched out here, man.
Wilding out. Now, some of these other guys here, I just wanted to just finish this up before we just talk about some other interesting things in the Eagles world. We could talk about
Gail's hiding behind a graphic right now trying to figure out what to talk about.
because I'm looking at this list. I'm like, just really know what I want to talk about. You don't got
5 minutes on Deion Kane?
I mean, he was decent at Clemson, you know.
Yeah, but
he's now in the league, and the NFL is a big jump, man.
Because you're borderline Trayvon Grimes category at this point with some of these guys, and I don't
now he's an agent now, he's doing his thing.
I don't think Josh Hammond and Deion Kane make this roster at all,
bro. When your number's 46, I don't feel good about you.
That's what it's all in the number, dude. Yeah. No wide receiver wearing 38.
I don't think you got a good chance of making this team as number 46.
How do you choose 38 as a wide receiver?
I don't know. I feel like they just
you don't choose given numbers.
Yeah, when you at that low of a level, they just give that number. Though
they're pretty much telling you like you ain't making shit.
Like your key card is not gonna work getting into the facility real soon.
Because ideally, what six? I mean, from your perspective, six wide receivers make this roster.
Yeah. Six, especially six? if one of them is our primary returner. Six, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, health is the thing. I mean, if you got Hightower on the back end and on the practice squad, he's a guy you can call up.
And to be honest with you, in regards to Britton Covey, I really would not mind having a specialist as far as a return guy, as opposed to putting either a wide receiver or a corner or something back there and risking potential injury.
So who is it? So it's AJ Brown, Devontae, Quez, Pascal, Ward, five. So who's y'all sixth person? Who's the person that you think makes that last spot?
He's a first round pick, bro.
Damn. I forgot all about Jalen Reagor.
You got Reagor along.
If Reagor can't beat out Britton Covey, Devin Allen, Deion Kane, you got to cut this man, son.
He's going to be an Argonaut next year if that's the case.
You can't just, in my opinion, sunken cost is a thing. You can't just hand him the job, yo. But we'll see what happens.
I just think it's like Jalen Reagor, he's going to get an opportunity because he's like a first rounder. And if they still believe in what he can do, it's very tough for unless they get a trade. And
I mean,
is willing to trade for him.
Okay, let's also, I mean, you compared him earlier to Nelson Aguilar. Like, let's not be naive and forget the fact that Nelson Aguilar underperformed the first few years of his career. I think it was year five, the year that we won the Super Bowl for Nelson Aguilar. Am I mistaken?
Nah, but I want to say that Aguilar had flashes that I really haven't seen from Reagor. Right, that like Aguilar Aguilar showed some things you like. That's why I feel like we were so frustrated with Aguilar, because you could see the skill, you could see the ability, but it's like, all right, now make it consistent. Then he finally figured out the consistency piece. I really haven't seen the flashes from Reagor, bro. Like, I really haven't been like, oh, Jalen Reagor, wow. Right, like
he had the punt return versus Green Bay where you're like, okay, and then you had the, you know, it was just like,
what else?
When he beat Patrick Peterson on the post, and he was missed on that one. Trying to think what else.
Yeah, give me one.
And then
that's two. Give me another one. In his 3 years in the NFL.
I'll go three moments.
It's like an instance a season that he gave you a flag.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what if you see someone beat Patrick Peterson, you're like, all right, well, you beat Patrick Peterson, okay. And just the way that
volcano, bro.
But I just we go back to the mental aspect of it. Can he get his game to where he needs to be? Because again, you talk about reliability, especially route running wise. And then he dealt with the injury his rookie year. That didn't really help him out as much either.
Yeah.
We obviously we're trying to get through all these position breakdowns. I know that could be long and long winded, but we gotta talk about it. But talking about we got an opportunity recently to go to Trent Cole's camp.
Yes,
This was shout out to Hollis Thomas for the invite. It was just great. It was a great experience. Talking with guys that you have grown up watching as Eagles fans. Trent Cole was second on leading sack masters for the Eagles. You're talking about a guy who is well respected as a pass rusher. And he has had a tremendous career as an Eagle, but he had his first camp. It was pretty local in Pittman, New Jersey. A lot of high school athletes and some middle school athletes came out there. What was your overall experience from that day, guys?
Oh, that was
missing
dope,
out on
man.
It.
It was a lot of fun. I wish work had allowed for me to go on Monday because I feel like having both of the days would have been really cool. But Tuesday was amazing, man. I mean, I was an Eagles fan through Trent Cole's whole career, Hollis's as well. You know, seeing BG in person was dope. He's looking real shredded. He's looking swole. He's looking ready for the season. Hearing BG talking about Jordan Davis and what a beast he already is, hearing him talk about Jalen Hurts and how Hurts is taking the next steps, and just the optimism, I think, around the Eagles is just palpable. Like, you can feel it. I think, you know, the camp itself was great. Just seeing Hollis, BG, Quentin Michael, Dan Klecko, all of these people, Trent Cole, giving feedback to these young men and the two young women that were out there, and like really seeing these young people take to it, watching them break down film. Like, it was dope, man. You know, I learned a lot, and I ain't stepping onto a football field ever again. So I hope for those young people that they soak the game up and they were really paying attention and looking to activate that stuff in the upcoming football season.
Yeah, Brandon Graham. We got to talking to Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham he's every bit of what you think Brandon Graham.
Yo,
he's every bit of what you think he might be off the field. Yeah. Talk about leadership. He's a guy that really holds the Eagles locker room together, and the fact he's out there breaking bread with these young football players, really just giving them all these pieces of information that you're just like, bro, like, you're learning from Brandon Graham. And then after you're learning all this stuff from Brandon Graham on the football field, they start watching some film. He starts breaking down the play where he strips Tom Brady.
Yo, we watched five times, bro. I was geeked up.
The kids were like locked in, and I don't know too many football camps where you get Brandon Graham, who's a current captain of the Eagles, like telling you your technique, and you're
Trent
just like
Cole.
And Trent Cole, like, I'm sitting there, every drill, I'm asking Brandon Graham, like, so what are we doing here? And he just giving up the goods, like, just telling, like, hey, this is what it is. This is what we're trying to teach them. And super cool throughout the whole day. It was kind of I was kind of geeked.
I feel like I was surprised at how cool they actually were, having met like former and current athletes and like entertainers and stuff. And they're not always down to earth people. Like, a lot of them are super unapproachable, but like Hollis, you know, Quentin Michael, Dan Klecko, BG, Trent, like, they were all just really nice people. And they were all really trying to help as many of those young people as they could. And so that was, you know, I think my highlight was just like Brandon Graham is one of the coolest people I ever met in my life. And like, you know, he just, his approach to trying to teach young people, I'm telling you, yo, Trent Cole and Brandon Graham breaking down defensive ends and like two-way goals, how to play games with the with their defensive tackle, how to not spin move into a guard where you get decapitated. Like it was just some of the most entertaining content that I've been a part of. I'm super excited to have all of the videos put together and you know get stuff out here to people. We were able to capture some really dope interviews during the process too. I mean, Gail was in the huddle. Gail was in the middle of the drills asking coaches what they doing. Like I'm going back through the footage and we have the footage. Thank God. You know what I mean? I almost had a, it was almost catastrophic, but we got it. It's back. I called Gail and her yesterday panicking because my SD card decided to just delete everything and we got it though. We good.
It's all
we
good.
We figured it out.
That's all that matters.
Hey, the universe aligned, bro.
Yes, sir.
Look, it definitely was a geeked out moment. I apologize, man. Internet is not cooperating with me tonight. But it was definitely a geeked out moment. Being there with those guys, with those players. It's kind of like what you mentioned, man. Just them being down to earth people. Like they realized, you know, we were pretty much the same way. Like, I'm not sure if Gil had mentioned this to you guys yet, but like after the fact that everything wrapped up. And, you know, we did what we did throughout the day with them. We actually stayed behind like another 2 hours with Trent Cole. With Trent Cole, like, standing there talking to him. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was just giving us, like, details when he played in the league, when he played with the squad, what he does, you know, with his life after football. You know, it was a real cool moment, man. And then at one point, I'm realizing what time it was, and I even had to text my wife, like, "Yo, I'm sorry, but I'm still here talking to Trent Cole, and there's no possible way I could just walk away from this man."
Yeah.
Like, nah, it just wasn't happening. And then, you know, we finally decided to wrap it up. It was close to midnight. We finally decided to wrap it up. We're walking away, and then his business partner had actually just told us, like, "Yo, Trent's circle is so small, and for him to actually stay behind as long as he did and talk to me and Gail the way he did it means a lot, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like he definitely, you know, we gained his respect by, you know, just by being us. And he was just chill, bro. Like, it was just like, it was a great moment. And, you know what I mean? To this day, I still talk about it with a lot of people, like having that opportunity to go ahead and talk film, like, you know, like you had mentioned, being in that room. And these guys breaking down. We were having like some geek moments, especially when Brandon Graham's play kept on playing on the video. We were the ones being the kids in the background, like, yeah. Absolutely. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
We're never gonna forget that play. You know what I mean? We're always gonna be grateful for that. So it was just moments like that. Being on the field, watching these guys.
I cried after that play happened, man. I literally cried like after that play.
y'all know I tell you about Hollis Thomas, man. That boy is a big child. You know, that dude, you know,
Hollis is the man, dude.
That's my man's right
Hollis
there, bro.
Hollis is that dude for sure.
He was. There it is. He was calling me to the side. He was like, "Prom, come here, man. Let me go ahead and break this down to you." Then he, like, Gail was having his moments. I was having my moments with Hollis, and he was explaining, you know, how to use that back foot. You know, keeping the heel up, exploding off the line, hearing that type of stuff. It was like, wow, man. Like, this is the shit right now. Like, I'm just enjoying this.
Yeah, I'm still on a high because Mal, you know, did not lose the footage. Because we'll be putting
that sounds like
soon.
I did something wrong.
No,
I
ain't doing
nothing. He won't let it go. So
the footage did it to myself. The footage did it to itself, and I rescued that shit from the abyss.
Like I went here and then back here. So I got like two great moments out of it because I'm like. Yes, because I mean, I had this great interview with Brandon Graham, and he's talking about how excited he was about the defense, and how excited about he was about Jordan Davis, how excited about he is about coming back and hoping to retire as an Eagle. I said, "Hey, man, I heard this talk about you coming back for, you know,
I'll see you next year.
I'll see you next year, bro. Yeah. Like, don't go to another squad for a year."
We got a good one with Trent Cole too. With Trent talking about the camp and just, you know, his experiences so far being away from football. Like, it's a lot of excellent content, man. And just grateful again to you and to this team for providing me the opportunity to pull up and you know, interact with just some real dope people. Even some really good high school kids was out there eating, like some kids that we'll probably see playing on Saturdays and potentially even Sundays if everything goes according to plan. So it was just an all around amazing event. I spent 2 days in panic mode thinking that like I was getting kicked out the Fourth and John gang. Gail was done with me. Gail was like, yo, if you don't get that footage back, you out of here, son. And so after that, I worked some magic, some voodoo, and we got it back.
Nice knowing you, bro.
Step across the line.
Now, because like at the end of the day.
Habitually. He's a habitual line stepper.
I actually am a habitual line stepper, so that does.
Yeah. No, I mean, at the end of the day, just the we talk about those moments about going out there and doing stuff and being active in the community and just like having these moments where you, again, I encourage everyone to do stuff like get out and network and meet people in the community. So these opportunities arise. And I think that was the coolest thing. And I think like the just getting the knowledge, all those kids were just left there, were like geeked out. And like, I'm like Prime was talking about like that conversation with Trent. We're sitting there talking about, you know, he was just talking about like the mental side of the game and how like, you know, how Tom Brady was so mentally gifted and the fact that how he scanned a defense. He said you wouldn't realize how smart Brady is, where he knows exactly who puts their foot on the defensive side of the field. And he knows every, like, if there was a box over every single player's head, it would have their profile based basically having a breakdown of what their weakness is. Tom Brady knows that. He said, like, if there's a weakness on your team, he knows that. And I mentioned the Trent. I said that's what happened when the Eagles played Tom Brady. Tom Brady gave the answers to the test, and the rest of the league followed. And you saw our defense get dismantled week in and week out because Tom Brady gave you the answer to the test. But it was just interesting to pick up on you know, all the facts that they were preaching throughout the day, and shout out to his management group. They put on a good camp for the first one.
And not to mention, man, this was his first camp ever. I mean, he was telling us that Vinny Curry had encouraged him to put this thing together, and he actually listened to him. So that was big, you know what I mean? And then we asked him, you know, how did it feel getting back into that football groove? And he was like, you know, it felt great. I even asked him, does he miss it? He told me, no, he doesn't miss it. You know, he's definitely enjoying his life after football. If you guys don't know, he does quite a bit of hunting. He is now getting into professional fishing, as he had mentioned to us. So, you know what I mean? I've caught a couple of his hunting clips. The dude's serious when it comes to hunting. And, you know, and I want to pretty much follow up on him on this whole fishing journey that he's going to go ahead and look forward to taking. So, I mean, he mentioned, you know, to these young players that are coming into the league now and that he still, you know, talks to, you got to have a plan B, and he had a plan B. And right now his plan B is just, you know, he's doing good with his plan B. So he's good. He's good after football. So, I mean,
he has a whole business, Provantage Solutions. Definitely shout outs to them. Like, they're doing some really cool stuff. Like you mentioned, his business partners were really amazing. Shout outs to Jesse too, who designed all of the art for the camps, and just a really dope team and just really just amazing opportunity. Like, I came home like a child, like talking to my wife, and she just seen how just excited I was. And she's used to me by now. Like, you know what I mean? She knows how I am. It was just a great opportunity. And it's funny because like before I left, so I left before they got a chance to like talk to Trent, and I'm looking at Gail's face, and Gail got the "I'm closing this joint down" face on. And it's like 10 o'clock, and I'm like, yo, I gotta go home, son. Gail texts me damn near midnight. It was like, yo, son, we was just chilling. Like, I'm gonna update you tomorrow. I was like, and I was still awake. Like, it wasn't even like I was asleep. Like, I was up. No. I was like, oh man, I missed the whole jump. But that was an awesome time.
Shout out to Mike as well. Trent's business partner. He's actually a fan of Fourth and John, and he's from the Delco area. So, you know, they've got some stuff brewing. So camps are going to be coming down the pike. I think there's one other thing I was going to say. Getting old, man. forgetting stuff.
We missed
Dev out there. Like I was like,
yeah, sure. I've had nothing to say the past 20 minutes. I haven't missed out on the fucking game. Just sitting over here scrolling up and down.
Sorry, Ev. I mean, hey, look.
Oh man,
we did talk about you. We mentioned you. You know what I mean?
I'm glad that you guys did. I'm just saying. I'm glad that you guys, even though I wasn't able to make it, I'm glad you guys took full advantage of that opportunity. I mean,
it was dope, bro.
Being down there with these guys like Brandon Graham, like he's not only an Eagle, like it's a hell of an opportunity to have an Eagle on this show or interview him for 15 minutes or something like that, but to get on a familiar basis where you're having a conversation for hours with these guys that we watch for years, our entire lives, we revolve our entire lives around this team. And you know, to be able to fucking build a relationship, I'm kind of fucking jealous.
He said we prioritize our lives around the Eagles. You said that, and I was like, well, that is our lives.
That is our lives.
I mean, it's just I just these small moments.
No caveat. Yours is definitely revolving around the Eagles, bro. Right. But that's why Fourth and John is such a great podcast opportunity endeavor, and I talk to you about this all the time, but like the fact that it's ingrained in the community, which is huge for you all, right? That like being a part of the Eagles community is a big piece of what this work is, but then also taking advantage of opportunities, because there was a point where you and I, Gail, were talking and like you reflected on the fact that like we were the only like bloggers out there, right? That like who else showed up, you know what I mean? Who else was in that space? Who else was connecting with the people and connecting with the young people and connecting with the players in that way? So, you know, ain't nothing wrong with your life revolving around the Eagles if that's your passion. You know, if you love it, man, do it, bro. Prime got 42 helmets. Like, the man, Prime love this shit. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm with it, bro.
I ain't gonna stop, man. I'm not gonna stop till I can, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna stop.
Hell yeah.
Prime, anytime Optimus drops a new helmet, it's just fucking.
that's Gail's face every time an Eagle opportunity come up. He's like, "Oh, we in there?
Nothing has changed.
Giving out lunches. No.
This
is what we do. Walk 5 kilometers, whatever it is. We in there, bro.
Nothing has changed, man. Nothing has changed about fandom with the Eagles. It's just what it is. I just want to wish everyone a happy July 4th.
Absolutely.
July 4th weekend should be a great time to, you know, have fun with your family. Stay safe. Stay safe out there driving. A lot of people on the road. I was coming back from NYC last night. The traffic was ridiculous.
Bananas. Mm. Yeah, the traffic in Philly right now is bananas, yo.
Everyone's going to the beach. Not me, but I know, Ev, you're going to the beach this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was supposed to earlier today, but yeah.
Wait.
And then I ended up golfing instead.
Yeah, I was about to say you was golfing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
The links.
You got to get out there when you can, bro.
Just listen, yo, bring me out there so I could get my Charles Barkley
I'm
on for
in,
a little
bro.
Bit.
I'm in.
I'm gonna get my hitch.
No, but
out.
I want to also just before we close out here, I want to put a very important message out there that you need to laugh at a Nets fan.
Make sure
you find any Nets fans that are in your life. You go, you point in their face, you laugh. Everything, man.
Can we get Ben Simmons on here, yo? Like, let's reach out to Ben Simmons, and then
I love that
laugh.
Kid coming out of LSU.
And then just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh because you asked for this.
Keep his mic muted, but keep his camera on. We just sit there and laugh at him.
And get Rich Paul in here too. Get Rich Paul over here. Get Clutch in here too. So I just want to laugh at them all. But real quick, July 4th is my 7-year anniversary with the beautiful woman that I married. Just an amazing person.
The fact that she's
tolerated me for 7 years of marriage and almost 13 years of being in a relationship. It's incredible because I don't know how she does it. She has the patience of a saint and she ignores most of the shit that I talk. So I appreciate it. Yeah, she has to. If you don't, I'll drive you crazy. So, I definitely want to wish my wife a happy anniversary. Happy 4th to the folks that celebrate. And yeah, just be safe out here, man. It's a
happy
lot going on.
To you both.
Yeah, appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you.
Prime.
Just stay safe, man. Have fun, but stay safe. That's all.
Don't fuck around with fireworks. Be smart.
Please don't.
Yeah. I thought about copping some, but I'm like, it would be my luck that I lose all my fingers and like I'm done now.
It ain't worth it. Just to watch some loud noises and some fucking lights. It's not worth it.
Nah, keep the limbs, man. Keep the limbs. Keep the limbs. Stay safe. Eat your vegetables.
Here you go being old again.
Eat your seafood prime. Have a great July 4th, and we'll see you probably in the next one. We'll move to the next position. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.